everybody, and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 3 recap here on Reality TV. We're half-offs. My name is Mike Bloom, talking about the penultimate episode of this season of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, but I'm joined by, I guess, my own squirrel friends road trip, insert mishmash of other rom-coms here. First, a guy who can sometimes become a bit of a beige schwan, especially when it comes to certain things that happen on Big Brother Canada, Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you doing?
How dare you? Oh, I got some things to say about this episode. So, Liana, close your ears.
Okay, look, anatomy was never my strong suit. Okay.
For those of you who don't know what we're referring to, on Liana Saturdays yesterday with Taryn, Liana definitely mixed up the metaphors of close your eyes and cover your ears and turned it into close your ears, which I don't know how to do.
I don't either. Sometimes though, Brett, when you speak, I really wish I could close my ears.
Yes, but I'm sorry. Shady bitch. Mike, I stepped on your introduction.
Oh, that's fine. We've also
got your partner in crime, Liana Boris, with us. How you doing, Liana?
Oh my gosh, this episode was horrible, but there were also some amazing things about it, so I am excited to hear all of y'all thoughts and talk all this stuff through.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one, because I mean, this was something that we sort of alluded to, unfortunately, at the end of the previous episode. Amidst all the drama that happened with Ben leaving, bringing Morgan back, we pretty much were saying, okay, there's a good chance this is going to be a revolving door. I think it's Trixie that puts it later of, you know, essentially she needed to kind of hit a home run and basically she struck out. So it seemed like sort of a foregone conclusion. I think she said Morgan needed to walk on water yesterday and basically she drowned. Ironic considering a swan can float on water, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So I'd say for a foregone conclusion, there are definitely some things to talk about in here. A lot of interesting things. Brent, I'd be intrigued to hear from you. What are your overall thoughts about this episode?
Overall thoughts about the episode. I thought the outcome was ultimately predictable. I thought the editors did a good enough job at giving me a possible decoy boot in BB. BB's attitude throughout this episode was just a little bit sour. And I thought, given how much the queens really don't like other queens who seem to be above themselves, you know, BB is like the epitome of that. So I thought there was a fighting chance that Shangela especially might eliminate BB, especially since she likes Morgan and goes way back with her from season 2. And also, I think that BB didn't do herself any favors in how she acted, both with not revealing the lipstick at the beginning of the episode, being a little bit uppity about that, and just her. It was almost like she couldn't. She was like those little kids who put their hands over their ears. That's how you do it, Liana. You cover your ears, and they pretend like they can't hear you. That's what BB was like with her criticisms during this episode. She was like, "I can't hear you. I can hear you. I did fine." And I think that really rubbed Shangela the wrong way. I think honestly, if it didn't look so bad, and you know, remember Shangela is looking through this partly through a competitor's eyes, but looking at it partly through a queen who's going to have to work with queens after this episode and this whole series is done. I think she's worried maybe about how it might look to eliminate BB and keep somebody like Morgan, who has skipped over so many of the challenges. I think she felt like her hands were tied. I think she felt like that she wanted to eliminate BB, but she couldn't do it.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure BB had that stank look on her face because she had one of Octavia's pies.
Ew. You know, I think that is the thing. The fact that Morgan was the very, very first queen eliminated, because yes, there is the whole revolving door, you know, thing that happens. But if it had been Aja, for example, who had come back, you know, the queen who had just been eliminated, I think that there is an argument to be made that, yes, even though she maybe I guess she didn't even skip one challenge because they did right. Like she did come back and compete. Then it makes sense that there could be justified reasons for having her make it. I mean, essentially into the top. I mean, it's the top four. It's not like we're talking, OK, we're going to bring like a queen back at top seven. You know, I mean, these are queens who are going to go to the finale. And so, yeah, I think that Shangela, even if maybe she had wanted to get rid of Bibi Zaharra-Bonet, I think that she did feel like her hands were tied and had to get rid of Morgan.
Well, let's get into this episode. I do love the lower third, obviously making a big deal out of this historic magnanimous event from last episode where it said, I don't know if you guys noticed, it's, you know, it usually says like after so-and-so's elimination. This one said after Benda LaCreme's self-elimination. and we get some of the current queen's thoughts on what's going on. And they sort of try to speculate as to what they think was going on with Dayla. Brent, I know we sort of hashed a lot of the Dayla situation out last week, both the positive and the negative aspects of it. Any reactions and thoughts overall to how these queens react to Dayla leaving?
Yeah, not very well. I think that the show tried to throw Dayla under the bus as much as possible. You had Kennedy talking about the fact that, you know, Rue doesn't like people who give up. Rue likes people who fight. Rue wants people who are here to win the money. Rue wants people who are here to play the game, to get in there and, you know, to get dirty. And I agreed with Kennedy on that. You know, whether you win or lose, no matter how hard it is, you're going to continue to fight. I think Rue really, really respects that. I can't remember who it was with Shangela also talking about the fact that maybe there was some shenanigans going on here with Dayla trying to maintain her status as Miss Congeniality. And, you know, because that's what she's known for to her fans, which I'm sorry, I'd rather be known as the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. I mean, screw Miss Congeniality, honey. That's for losers. I don't know why she'd want to keep that. But I think they looked at her like she's freaking crazy.
Yeah, just like Jesse James screwed Miss Congeniality.
And I think it was the thing that that Trixie was just like, why would you, we lost our clear front runner. And I loved her quote about this is like your pretty friends not going to prom.
Yeah.
It kind of like opens up the field. But yeah, I thought it was funny though that Kennedy was sort of running through potential options about the fact that, you know, yeah, maybe it was a publicity stunt or something about Miss Congeniality. So I thought it was interesting that the show left all that in there. And yeah, I can't help but feel that they're kind of throwing Dayla under the bus for leaving that way.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I really thought that Kennedy in particular was the mouthpiece for the show. And I love the fact that Kennedy does not suffer any fools and she will not put up with any bullshit. And she was just like, I smell a rat and I know she's up to something. And I think Kennedy was almost a little bit like appalled. Like Kennedy was living for the fact that she got to eliminate Milk. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was when Kennedy won the challenge and the lip sync. She was living for that fact. She didn't bat an eyelash. OK, so then you have Dayla over here who's literally won 6 challenges in a row. Kennedy's fighting just to maintain, just to stay in the game. And Dayla's like, oh, I'm too good for you guys. I'm going to walk away. I know some people don't see it that way, but I know Kennedy felt that way.
Yeah.
So that's why they used her as the mouthpiece.
And I think that goes back to the pageant mentality as well. I know they had Eureka on the pit stop this week, and she sort of vocalized that as well of, you know, feeling like you constantly need to better yourself, always feeling like you're in competition to sort of put yourself in that number one slot. So I think in Kennedy's brain, her understanding of the competition did not necessarily match Dayla's. And for you know, what I believe, I don't think there's really a right way to look at this thing. I feel like Dayla honestly just did not really like the format that they were going with. But Kennedy is someone who, as you said, sort of salivated at the idea of getting to eliminate her competitor. So it didn't necessarily play with her. But I feel like the biggest deal is made out of how, I want to say how BB receives Dayla leaving, but how she receives the tradition of let's reveal the lipstick of the other person who didn't win the lip sync for your legacy. BB decides to plead the fifth. She is going to withhold her nominations. Now, Shangela chalks us up to like playing this Cersei Lannister game. She didn't reveal her choice because she doesn't want to piss anyone off. Look, I love Shangela. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff we're going to talk about with her in this episode. I kind of feel like sometimes she makes mountains out of molehills or mountains out of vipers.
Oh, yeah.
With like the, yeah. Oh, this is clearly a strategy. Like, no, it's, I really don't think that BB's like, I could see to a certain extent like her being not wanting to piss someone off, but at the same time, she's extrapolating Liana so much out of every single thing to make it seem like it's part of a larger strategy when oftentimes it really isn't, in my opinion.
Out of respect for Shangela, I won't reveal how I feel about this situation. I mean, I definitely think that that's the case. I think that, you know, it's because she's thinking that way, that she thinks other people are thinking that way, even though, you know, that might not be the case. Although I was still a little bit confused as to why, you know, why she wouldn't reveal who she pulled. Right.
I can answer that. I think it's clear that she pulled Kennedy as the person to be eliminated because that's what the stats were telling her she had to do. And I think she just didn't want to hurt Kennedy's feelings. I think she wanted to try to create enough confusion as to who she might have eliminated. And but I also feel like they all kind of knew she eliminated Kennedy. I don't feel like she needed to say that. And I feel like she also doesn't live for the drama, BB I'm talking about. And so she wasn't going to give the show what they wanted. She wasn't going to have it out with Kennedy about why I would have eliminated you. I think she just didn't want to go there. So she didn't.
All right, well, let's move on to the next day here, because we have another person to add to the Mount Rushmore of person who randomly appears in the workroom and does not appear for the rest of the episode. Welcome, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, we had heard about this before the season, and politics aside, I feel stunned that we have a politician visiting this set of RuPaul's Drag Race. Brent, how did you feel about this sort of drop-by appearance from Nancy Pelosi?
Well, I thought it was really well done. I'm still a little confused because I thought she was coming back for season 10. So maybe this was the drive-by, and now she's actually going to park when she comes on season 10 and judges. So I'm hoping
she's scouting out a parking spot. Like, okay, I'll pull around the block, and now that that's free, I'll like pull into the spot later on.
Yes, exactly. I thought that again. I take your point, Mike. That it is, if you're somebody who has a sense of history, you know, if you are a progressive over the age of 30 who can remember a time when there were Democrats who supported the Republican position of non-marriage equality, and I know many of them, it is sort of boggling in some ways to see the former Speaker of the House on the set of the same show that, you know, does many challenges where you have to keep an egg between your knees and keep your legs closed, you know? So I take your point there that it is sort of incredible. But having said that, I also feel like it shows how much and how quickly gay rights in particular has progressed over the past 5 years. It has just been I think it was like Justice Scalia who even dissented in that ruling, who said it best, like it's been an absolute freight train in terms of how, you know, much the public has moved their position in terms of how we see our fellow LGBT and queer friends. And because of that, I feel like it was the right time for Nancy Pelosi to come by. Obviously, she represents a very liberal district. She's never getting voted out unless she decides to step down. And so she doesn't have anything to fear. And she came by and showed her support for the Queens.
So wait, I had also heard that she was going to be a judge, but now I'm getting confused because was it going to be for season 10 or was it for All Stars 3?
From what I'm researching right now, it said that she was going to be a guest judge for All Stars. So I think I think we were all confused that she was not a guest judge. She Kudrowed it, essentially, where she just happened to show up, but not necessarily judge anything.
Well, I think that she was so richly received this time that I can totally see her coming back as a judge. If she's not on season 10, I think she would definitely be on season 11. I know that they're casting season 11 right now. And by the way, just as a quick segue, I got this question from somebody on Twitter who said that, or actually on Facebook, a friend of mine who's a fellow patron named Karen, who said that she felt like that she didn't want to see season 11 come back like in the fall because she doesn't want it to be like where it's on all the time, you know, like where Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, who you know, they up their shows to like 4 days a week, you know, once they realize they had something there. And I don't feel like that's the case. I do feel like that RuPaul is going to just do two shows a season. I feel like it's we're going to see season 10 here really quick. And then it's going to be probably another year until we see season 11. But who knows? But I don't think it's going to be on all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I want to talk about this next week, but I wonder with the overall reception to All Stars 3, when we're going to see an All Stars 4. I'm going to put in a bid of at least 2 years before we see an All Stars 4.
I'm going to say next year, but We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there is part of it of trying to ride the momentum and ride the wave, but you also don't want to overdo it. So, yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, especially with, you know, this move to VH1 and sort of how, you know, I don't know how much push VH1 is going to have to, you know, to do more episodes. But yeah, I will say it was just so surreal to see Nancy Pelosi, you know, pulling the Kudrow, the Moby, the Marc Jacobs of just like showing up. It was cool. It was really cool. And, you know, I think I was a little disappointed because I thought she was going to be a judge. But just the fact that Nancy Pelosi was on RuPaul's Drag Race, like, what? That was a little mind blowing.
Yeah,
and definitely. I was happy for it, though.
I thought she was going to judge a mini challenge, and I was really hoping that it was going to, my favorite phrase. I was hoping that Rue was going to say, you know, you've got 20 minutes to get into quick drag. Have been quick drag in front of Nancy Pelosi. Oh my God, their faces would have been cracked.
What a great first impression to make. Now, what I will ask is because we'll get into the actual announcement of the challenge itself. Were you surprised that even though Nancy Pelosi would not show up for the rest of the episode, that they didn't have sort of like a politically linked challenge? Because this is the first time a major politician has been on the show. We've seen them in the past. You know, we had the debate challenge in season 4. We had the smear campaign challenge in season 8. Were either of you surprised that the challenge didn't link up whatsoever with Nancy Pelosi's drop in appearance?
No, I really wasn't surprised by that, because I think that those challenges, you know, I'm just thinking about the debate challenge. It was still supposed to be something that was really silly and goofy. And I think the point of having Nancy Pelosi on, and then when you have the judges, you know, while the other queens are deliberating, there was a serious message about it. And I think that they didn't want to conflate sort of the goofiness of a potential challenge with sort of the seriousness of the message that the show was trying to get across. So I think that it makes sense that they wouldn't, you know, do sort of a goofy challenge that goes along with that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Well, let's move on to this challenge. My best squirrel friend's drags maids wedding trip. So we have an acting challenge, a scripted acting challenge, where they are assigned characters, and not by Alexis Michelle, by Morgan, as sort of a welcome back present. Let me just say, because we'll get into the actual metrics of the challenge itself, I'm sure, once we actually break down the queens, but yeah, not the best challenge, Drag Race. I thought that the characters' choices were odd, the script was weird, and the idea to make it a trailer made it twice as weird, because it was all edited together and it wasn't actually a scene. We just got like snippets here and there. So we definitely got good stuff out of it, both, you know, unintentionally and intentionally hilarious from both sides of that coin. But the challenge itself, I really was just not a big fan of in execution. Brent, how did you feel about it?
I think I was probably more positive than you. I tend to enjoy the acting challenges. I do take your point that the script was horribly imbalanced from my point of view, as insofar as the roles that I think that were preferable and the roles that I think were, you know, absolute disasters and I would stay away from 100%. And yet Morgan, still having total control, managed to screw it up. I don't know. I really enjoy the acting challenges because I feel like it allows the queens to spread their wings or their legs in a way that I know that they otherwise can't when they're, you know, at the club on stage. And I know that Rue enjoys the acting challenges insofar as putting it into a trailer. And considering that these queens shot about 6 or 7 different disparate scenes and they knew it was going to be edited together, I guess I can go along with the fact that it was a trailer. But having said that, I do agree that I wish it would have been a little bit more cohesive.
I actually thought it was fine that it was a trailer, but the fact that we didn't actually get to see more of their performance, you know, sort of while they're recording, like I had no, like I was confused where then all these other scenes came from in the trailer. Like I would have preferred to have seen more of sort of the working with Ross type stuff. Like I was just confused then when the trailer came up.
Yeah. And I'm wondering how much they were able to go off script as well, because this happened, you know, back in the Empire challenge in season 8, like Bob doing that winning performance did a lot of improvising. It felt like Trixie did in particular. I remember the line when she's like, oh yeah, I remember, not a hugger. Like that didn't feel like it was necessarily written. And I wonder how much they went off script. But yeah, I agree. It was a little bit of a question mark where we see them rehearsing with Ross and they're rehearsing these clear entrances and then we don't see any of that. Are we supposed to wait for like My Best Squirrel Friend's Drags Maid's Wedding Trip, the director's cut, to see the deleted scenes?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. Only if Kennedy can say it. Maybe eventually when she gets the full name, we'll be able to see the whole thing.
I know I keep beating that drum, but I love those like meta confessional moments where the queens like and producers stop them, and we get to see a little bit of like behind the scenes of Kennedy's bloopers that are just ending with, can you just let one of the other queens say it, please?
Yeah, let somebody else have that line. I was like, God, Kennedy, I love you so much.
Because it doesn't end with pow, so she had a little bit of trouble with it. Let's talk about these five characters and Morgan delineating out these roles. So we have Sharon Frankovich, a busty whistleblower who fights the power. And I should also mention that the concept of this is that they're taking dramatic roles from films and turning them into raunchy, comedic films. We have the queen, who has reigned for decades with the motto, keep calm and carry a big purse. We have the aforementioned Octavia, the Octavia Spencer hybrid of a pie-making maid-turned-rocket scientist who doesn't take crap from anybody. We have, really, who ends up being the star of the show, the beige Schwan, an unhinged prima ballerina obsessed with winning. And of course, probably the more recent one, Oscar-winning Lala, the young actress singing and dancing her way to movie stardom. Brent, you alluded to this before. How do you think the roles fell in terms of, you know, juiciness? And how big of a mistake did Morgan make in how she assigned out those parts specifically to herself?
Well, I think this is very apropos because earlier today I retweeted my reaction to Big Brother Canada 5's Backwards Week. Okay. And I was absolutely incredulous over that twist. And my reaction here is the same as it was then. What the hell were you thinking? Oh my God. Like, seriously, Morgan, what the hell? You know you're coming back into the competition. You're going to need to impress the judges. You need to use every strategic advantage you have to just stay afloat, because if you're not in the top, as Ruth said, you're going to be in the bottom. And she just blew it. She basically handed the two front runners the best roles in the show and took something in the beige Schwan that was so detached and esoteric that I don't even know how I would have done it. And I totally understand why she had problems with it, but at all costs, stay away from the beige Schwan. It just, because there's nothing to it. It's completely vapid. There's no jokes there. There's nothing funny. There's no dialogue. Trixie was going on about the fact that Sharon or whoever the hell, has the most dialogue, and I'm like, are you kidding? That's great. That has the most jokes. You know, if you're somebody who can memorize fast, then you can get it done. And not only that, you're probably going to be seen in a majority of the trailer. So she blew it here.
It really did not make sense to me. And I thought what was so funny, I was just living for Kennedy this episode, but when Morgan was like, yeah, I want to try something new, Kennedy was like, stick with what you know. Yes. Don't try something new. Like, yes, exactly. Especially, well, I don't know why you're trying to show something new. You're only in one episode. Like, stick with what you know how to do. Yeah, it's just the decision made no sense. And honestly, even some of just the choices, like, I feel like this was not super well thought out in general. Like, why was the beige Schwan even one of the options? I feel like there are other choices that you could have gone with just in general, like from the production side of things.
Mm-hmm, like, in terms of famous dramatic roles?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. The beige Schwan did not work for me from a television point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And it's kind of like what Ross was saying that, I mean, I don't even know. You know, you have to be so over the top with the craziness. But I feel like then you sort of start to converge on milk levels of a complete insanity.
Milk would have. Oh, she would have loved this one. Like, she would have eaten this beige Schwan up with some garnishes.
Yeah, so I just don't think in comparison. Like, it really did seem imbalanced from the point perspective of the original pieces.
I think Milk actually might have written this movie, considering that it ends with everyone farting, and we know how much milk is into that.
Yes, yes.
I love it.
Yeah, and I will say also, good on Shangela for like surreptitiously hinting, like, hey, you know, Octavia, I love Octavia. Give me the lines. I memorize stuff. So clearly, you know, she was trying to game this from the beginning. But yeah, so Morgan assigns Octavia to Shangela. She gives the queen to Bibi, who is For approaching a character who is uppity, she's pretty uppity about playing a character who is playing uppity, admittedly. Then she gives herself Beige Swan, because as we mentioned before, she wants to try something new. Kennedy becomes Lala, not Poe, leaving Trixie to be Sharon. And Trixie's a little miffed about this initially, but as we get into rehearsal with Ross, as they start to attend their very abbreviated entry into the School of Overacting, it's clear that Trixie realized, like, oh, these have some of the best laugh lines, and for what it's worth, she absolutely kills it. But there's some a few notes from this. BB is sort of just not, I want to say she's getting it, but she's not really doing something on the line deliveries. I think she's very in herself, and Ross wants her to act out more. But we have to talk about Morgan's entrance here, because I totally understand what you guys were saying about how Beige Swan is such a tough character to play, because I feel like I don't think it says it. She had like one line, but I feel like it's very nonverbal. And the dancing that Morgan was doing was great, but.
Okay, I just want to stop really quickly. That Mike Bloom, y'all, he's living for the Beige Swan. Like me and Liana, like we were not here for it, but Mike is living for it. So you're gonna have to put up with him for a couple minutes here while he extols the virtues of Morgan McMichaels and her performance as the Beige Swan. So hit it, Mike.
Okay, no. I still can't get over the fact that Mike Bloom made a Teletubbies reference earlier. Okay, Mike, what is wrong with you?
You know you're a 90s kid when. I mean, if someone could, like, make my dreams come true and mash up BB's verse from last week with Morgan hissing and quacking as the Beige Swan, I think I would have died and gone to heaven, because I just love how she comes up for the first time. It's completely silent, and Ross, like, okay, like, make some noises, and you just hear Morgan go, doing it. Oh, like she's freaking Mac is the Nightman from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And just everyone's reactions to it. I mean, it's going to be one that's by the quack later on. But I love that Morgan got so biologically accurate with the noises that swans make, and that she saw that the judges would somehow appreciate that. I don't know, Brett, maybe I'm overblowing this, but this is by far the most entertaining of it all for me.
Oh, I mean, it was definitely entertaining watching her try to keep her head above water when she clearly started to figure out that maybe she was drowning and that she's made a horrible mistake. Again, Mike, RuPaul did her all the favors in the world by giving her the chance to pick the roles and assign the roles to the other queens. She could have totally sandbagged Trixie here and given her the Beige Swan. I don't know what Trixie would have done with the Beige Swan, but I can't imagine it would have been as good as what she put out there with Sharon Brockovich or Frockovich or whatever the hell. You know who it is. It's Aaron Brockovich, for God's sake. So I don't know. I think that I'm still incredulous that she did that. And I think when they saw the eventual result, Rue was just beside herself in terms of why, like, even Michelle, why did you pick this role when you had the chance and you saw the script? I would have thought that, I'll say this, any queen that ever goes into RuPaul's Drag Race and sees the script and says, you know what, I'm going to pick whatever has the least lines, that's a queen that just needs to go girl bye, because you're not a drag queen if you're looking for the lowest part in the show. If you're looking for the bit part in the production, you're just trying to be safe. Then there's no way that you're the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race.
So I have two things. So first of all, I'm here for this crossover episode, like the Beige Swan cometh, which would be fun. But then also, I just love the fact that she explained it, that swans only hiss when people come near her. I was like, yes, come on, zoology lessons. Let's learn a thing. But then the fact that we didn't see any of the quacking in that, like, the performance, you know, the original recording or whatever, and we didn't see it until afterwards. And I was just so beside myself, being like, what the hell is going on? I'm so confused.
Beige Swan. Ah, I think it really needs to happen now. I agree. I think that's what the humor that came from the quacking is, that you're like, okay, like, Ross told Morgan she needs to improve on the hissing. What's she gonna do? And she freaking just quacks for 30 seconds straight. We'll get to it. Do you think that what Trixie recommended in confessional was correct, that Morgan probably should have picked Sharon, if not for the amount of lines, that confrontational character is more Morgan style?
Oh, yeah, 100%, yeah. Liana. I mean, mm-hmm. Like, what was she thinking? Why did she not choose this?
I honestly have no idea. I mean, the only thing that I can think of is she wanted, you know, Morgan is a dancer and she wanted an opportunity to like show off the fact that she can dance. But if you know it's going to be a comedy challenge, you have to pick a character that's funny. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, by the way, I'm so glad you brought this up. The Kennedy line about stick with what you know. I'm like, that's so Kennedy. Oh, my God. The girl comes out and does leg kicks all the time. And it's still freaking fabulous every time she does it. I mean, oh, my God. I was yes, Kennedy. Stick with what you know.
Let's move to the next day here, because I thought this mirror talk was super interesting. And it's something that we get occasionally on All Star Seats. It reminds me a bit of in Survivor Game Changers when they were talking about, like, the hazards of coming back to play for a second time. We get a lot of talk about their interactions within the drag community, and to Kennedy's extent, you know, her interactions as being a part of the drag race community in comparison to the other queens on their season. Liana, any takes from between Trixie talking about her, how her attitude might be perceived, to BB's the BB bougie stuff, to the Kennedy stuff?
I think this is just the reality TV fan in me. But as soon as Trixie said perception is reality, I was like, it is girlfriend. And she was just like, I'm a boring white dude who doesn't like hugs. I mean, I think the fact that she's aware of that is really nice, but you know, you do have to do things to change it. And it seems like she was, cause with, you know, she got the Adam Lambert critiques of, you know, you felt very cold. And so Trixie's like, I was smiling at Ross the whole time. I thought that was great. And then, oh my gosh, Shangela's confessional about BB. She's from the royal family of Zamunda or whatever.
go to wikipedia.com and look up the definition of bougie.
Bougie, yeah, and it's her picture. I thought it was fun, and it was nice to sort of get a little bit of, you know, the inside look at how these queens believe to be perceived, how the other queens perceive them. I thought that was really cool.
I mean, I thought that the whole Shangela and BB thing was interesting. I thought Trixie was so on the nose with the, you know, the boring white guy who doesn't like hugs thing. Very, very funny. Having said that, the thing that will stick with me long after this episode is hearing Kennedy talk about how she was perceived by the fans after her season, that absolutely, she was always going to be the second thought, not the first thought. And then you didn't understand what she was talking about. And then she explained it. Honestly, I love Kennedy and my heart broke for her listening to this. You could tell she's really bummed, if not really sad, about the fact that from her season, she was not very well liked, and the fans come up to her at the last minute when they're getting ready to close, like, hey, can I get a picture with you real quick? Like, they don't really care about her. And I feel like that really, really hurt her. And I mean, I, for one, could see it coming through loud and clear that if more than anything, she wants this series of Drag Race to change her perceptions with the fans. Now, I always liked Kennedy the first time, but she was like a fine wine. She got better over time. Like, after she had been kicked off and eliminated, I looked back on that season like, oh my God, I love Kennedy Davenport. And then when I heard she was coming back this season, I was like, yes, Kennedy. Now look, it's safe to say she ain't going to be the winner of Drag Race. I'm just going to call it right now. She ain't going to be she's not going to be the winner of All Stars 3. I don't think. Okay. But I think she's done at least a serviceable job in terms of changing around her image. And I'm really, really hoping that people can appreciate, look, what you get with Kennedy Davenport is a freaking Texas pageant queen who can come out, dance the house down, give leg kicks for days, and give you everything you want in a drag queen if you just want to be entertained, okay? So y'all go out and support Kennedy Davenport, because she wants you to be the first thought for her, not the second thought. You know what I'm saying, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that, because, I mean, comparing yourself against other people and the inferiority complexes that develop as a result of that, I mean, that's something that I've been sort of compartmentalizing with very recently. And it's tough, and it's so self-denigrating, where it makes you really feel like, okay, if people like this person more than me, does that just make me less of a person? And it really shouldn't, but you get in your head about it. And I love getting to see this inside Kennedy. You know, I feel like we love when Kennedy's bitchy and she delivers those confessionals like we did before. But I feel like between last episode and then, you know, where she says, you know, maybe I push people away because I came from a community where I wanted to be included, but I really wasn't. And then you get this episode, you get the stuff with Milk, where, yes, there was some like, you know, shadiness thrown in here, but it was her feeling very hurt that Milk essentially, you know, talked down about her drag. And I love getting to see this side of her. It's almost like, I wouldn't say it's an exact comparison, but it's like when my thoughts on Detox improved in the last All-Star season, where I'm like, yes, I liked Detox, but we got to see so many different sides of her from both a talent perspective and a personality perspective. I feel like we're getting to see that with Kennedy here, and I'm so happy about it, because we're not just seeing one note now. We're seeing a whole freaking song from Kennedy that she's now high-kicking and swinging around a lamppost singing.
Yeah.
Liana, we've got to see her. She's a little warmer this time around, or maybe I just appreciate her more. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. So I agree with both of you. Sort of my feelings on Kennedy have been, like you said, Brent, sort of like a fine wine, that I liked her in season 7. And I'm probably guilty of this, too. You know, I didn't think of her as the first queen. When I think of season 7, you know, I think of Katya, like she's the first one that stands out to me.
Yeah.
And so the fact that Kennedy, I think, has been saying a lot of things this season that have resonated with me, like Kennedy is doing Kennedy. And I just also love the sentiment that she says, you know, I just believe in working hard to get what I want. And I love that attitude from her, and being able to see multiple sides from her. I just appreciate her so much more. And you know what? Even though this queen is going to go out on the runway with that same silhouette in this gorgeous gown, you know what? She is doing what she knows. And I appreciate, you know, what it is that she does bring to the table.
One more quick note from the mirror talk. I did love the random shot of Morgan doing an Alyssa Edwards and popping a face in the mirror. Channeling that when Alyssa won the challenge, I believe, as the dark Rue the Swan in the shade, in the ballet challenge in season 5.
I'm trying to remember how it is with Alyssa. It's like, you know, you look in the mirror and you go like,
I miss, which we won't talk season 10 too much. We have an entire podcast coming up for that. But I was so excited to see Alyssa doing stuff
in drag.
Like,
yes,
in drag
as the dance teacher. Oh, my God. Yes, bitch. Can't bring wait. It. Oh, so excited. Oh, my God.
Well, let's get into the runway here and vis-a-vis the movie, too. But our guest judges this week, I'm butchering her name, probably Garcelle Bouvier and formerly of Glee's Chris Colfer. Liana, any feelings towards these guest judges this week?
No, not really. I mean, I thought that they were fine. They didn't stand out in either a positive or a negative way for me. Yeah, I don't really have much to say about them.
Yeah, I think that Chris Colfer just does not age. That's number one. Number two, I actually read a little bit about him because I'm like, is he even getting work now? Or was it just like a one-time thing with Glee? But apparently he's a child's author now. Yeah. He's writing children's books and is doing pretty well for himself. So that's cool. And I don't know. I think that who was the other judge again? I'm sorry.
Garcelle Bouvier. I think she's like a model, I believe.
Yeah, she looked freaking gorgeous on the panel. Let's be honest. I mean, she was absolutely stunning. But insofar as giving me something that I remember, I don't remember much about her.
Yeah, she's an actress, I'm pretty sure. Also, like, she was on the Jamie Foxx show.
Yeah, she's an actress, which makes sense. I'm glad that they brought on two actors and actresses to judge this challenge. I liked Chris Colfer. Maybe it's just because I loved Chris Colfer's 2-second Emma Stone impression that just came out of nowhere, but was so pitch perfect.
It was really good. She's so serious about stuff.
We have to put like the slight lisp in there too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get into the actual challenge itself, and we can sort of take into account the runway and the performance as well. Let's start here with BB touting the Valentina to start, though. I think from what we found out later in the deliberations, she might not exactly know who Valentina is, but she also puts on a performance that is not terribly crown worthy, I should say, lands her in the bottom three for the first time. Brent, how did you feel about BB this week?
I really thought this was stiff and not in a good way. I know, I think that's what she was going for insofar as the queen, but she really needed to be more like Julie Andrews kind of queen. Not that Julie Andrews has ever played a queen, I don't think, but just she needed to be more fun and more.
She was in the Princess Diaries, I believe. The Queen of Genovia.
Thank you. I knew that was somewhere in my head, but she needed to be a lot more cheery and fun, like a very, very fun Londoner, not a stuffy royal. That just does not work insofar as trying to be funny in a challenge like this. And she just could not get out of her own head. The thing that I am so pissed about with Bibi Zahra-Benet, and I can't, was it somebody on Twitter, or maybe somebody in this episode, you guys can help me, who said it, but the whole point of coming on RuPaul's Drag Race, for Bibi anyway, was you haven't been seen since season one. You want to show people who you are. So you know, stick with what you know. I'm cool with that. Okay, I'm with Kennedy. Stick with what you know. But you've had like what, 6, 7, 8 episodes now, and you've basically given us the same thing, the same demeanor, the same sort of performance each and every time. I'm sort of a little bummed that we don't get to see her step outside of what she knows and push herself just a little bit, because I think back to last week and that was the last week or the week before that stupid cat suit that she wore. Oh yeah, it was last week.
Oh, it was last week.
Yeah, and like I was thinking, I saw the Raja and Raven on their show on Wow on YouTube that they do, and they gave it an immediate boot because she's like, has she not found a rhinestone in the past 8 years? And I totally agree with Raja. Like, everything about BB looks the same as it did. It looked dated. Even the outfit that she wore for this runway to me looked somewhat dated. If it was spectacular, but it also looked dated. And I wish that there were elements to her overall work that were not dated insofar as her time on Drag Race this season.
So, I mean, first of all, just thinking about the look, I feel like it's something that should gag me, but doesn't. Like, her whole face is covered. She's stoned. She's got, you know, the silhouette that is interesting. But when I look at this outfit, I just feel like there's something missing. Maybe because it's only stoned in like random places. You know, maybe it's because I want the dress to be longer. I don't know. I have a really hard time judging her, because sometimes I feel that I put her on such a pedestal because she was the first winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. And so I sort of have this, you know, oh, she can do no wrong kind of thing. But yeah, I'm sort of underwhelmed, I think, both with this look and her performance in the acting challenge.
Very underwhelmed. Mike, I wanted to say that I think I know what's going on here. I think right before BB came to Drag Race All-Stars 3, she watched Sasha Velour in her finale performance on season 9, because not only did last week she took her wig off in the challenge, but she forgot the rose petals. This time she wore a mask over her face the entire time walking down the runway, just like Sasha did in the finale of her lip sync against Peppermint. The thing that Sasha did that BB didn't was she took her mask off. I know BB eventually got her mask off for the runway when they were standing there for their critiques, but all throughout walking down the runway and all the way back, that mask was totally on her face. And I kind of was waiting for the reveal, and I never really got it.
I'd like to keep it on, please.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like this outfit is at least a little different, because like BB again is all about this like regality, right? It's all about long flowing gowns, and this is at least a break from it. It did have like a little bit of a tail to it, but again, it was not gag worthy outstanding, but I think it was at least a little bit of a deviation. And I did like, you know, you had the wings going on, you had the tail, as I mentioned before, you had the ponytail sticking out in the back. So like there was some dimensions there. I can also see where she was going, at least with the character. You know, she wanted to be the prim and proper queen, but the line deliveries and the energy in particular, you know, Ross was talking about this before. He said, what, less Helen Mirren, more Yellen Mirren, which so stupid, but I loved it. But yeah, but it's true though. I mean, it's just like, it could have worked for a more reserved scene in particular, but considering all the other queens were doing in their own capacities, it just didn't really work necessarily. I can understand why she was boxed in just a tiny bit, but like you said, Brent, there are more dimensions that you can do and bring more energy to a character that can still be prim and proper.
Yeah, you don't have to do Elizabeth II, okay? You don't have to, what are we doing today, Claus? You know, you don't have to act like that. It's just, there are more choices to be made. Again, hashtag choices.
You know what? I think also with I think about Trixie's line, the, oh, you're not a hugger or whatever, you know, whatever that was. It almost felt like she was like, Bibi was the straight woman to, you know, the tricksy ridiculousness and Shangela being out there. And she didn't really, you know, bring her own ridiculous to the stage.
I also love the exchange with the judges where, you know, Michelle's like, you should have done a British accent. And Bibi was like, I didn't want to offend by butchering an accent. And Ruth just says, on this program?
I know. I'm like, thank God you called her out. Oh, my God. If they would have let that one pass. Oh, my God. Yes. I'm so glad they let her have it on that one. Oh, God. They basically laughed in her face like, girl, what are you talking about?
Considering, like, do you remember what Shangela did like 3 weeks ago with Miss Cleo? Right. Let's move on to Kennedy here. Between her, we talked about like the glamorous stoned dress and her take on Lala here. Liana, what did you think about Kennedy this week? Deserved spot in the bottom three for you?
Yeah, I think so. I was happy with the top two this week. You know, it's so funny because I realize, like, oh, God, I'm such a freaking hypocrite. Like, critiquing BB for, you know, doing sort of the same thing. And then Kennedy shows up in like that same silhouette and I'm gagging for it. Like, oh, it's just so pretty. I just can't help. Maybe it's just because I love the pageant queenness of her. But I just get the dripping in jewels fantasy look from this runway. And I just can't help but love it and appreciate it. Yes, she seemed to fall a little flat in her performance of Lala. But again, I don't think I really saw enough to sort of decide. I was sort of going on based on what the judges were saying, not based on my own, you know, observation of her performance.
Yeah, I thought they were trying to force her into a box where she chose not to get into the box. When I think it was Chris Colfer saying, I wished you did more La La Land and Emma Stone performance. I mean, well, she didn't do that. I mean, like, there was nothing in the script that said that she had to do Emma Stone. You know, I mean, I realize it's called Lala. I get that. But there were other choices to be made insofar as how she portrayed it. I do agree with Liana that, you know, I think the top two was obvious. And thus, if you're going to have a bottom three and let them all be up for elimination, then she definitely was in the bottom three. However, I felt like that her performance was a lot better than the other two. And I felt like she should have been safe in the third spot and then just had a bottom two. But that's not Rue. That's not what Rue decided to do. Having said that, this is the epitome of stick with what you know. I mean, oh, my God. So she gets Lala. She comes out. She waltzes around and then does a big leg kick at the end, which I was living for. Then she comes on the runway in a gown that I swear to God, everything about this screams Miss Gay US of A pageant or Miss Gay America pageant, because it's the length, the hair, the jewels, the makeup, everything, even the way she carries herself on the runway. Mike, I know that you're not into these. You're into RuPaul's Drag Race, but I don't know how many times you've been to an actual drag pageant in some of the pageant systems in the United States, but this is the epitome of what they do. They come down the runway. The dress has to hit your heel, right where you're maybe like 2 inches above the heel at the floor. And it can be sleeveless, but it at least has to cover like a certain part of you. And then your hair almost always is in an updo for the USA system. Like, I guarantee you, Kennedy has worn this outfit probably 3 or 4 times in other pageants. And I agree with what Liana said too, that, I mean, this has been a theme today. I'm like, I agree with what Liana said, but it's true. I agree insofar as I feel like I'm a bit of a hypocrite because I'm saying to BB, you know, try to push yourself a little bit. And yet with Kennedy, I'm like, I'm totally fine with her sticking with what she knows, but she does it so well. I never, ever feel when Kennedy is doing what she knows that she's dropping the ball. Only when she tries other stuff does she drop the ball. Whereas BB, when she's just doing BB, I feel like there are times where she does drop the ball, and maybe that's why I feel like I'm more disappointed in her than I am Kennedy.
Yeah, so I'll say that I agree that I think she was a veritable third place this week, and she was pretty much safe considering that Shangela, when she sat down with her, pretty much said, I'm not getting rid of you, and I don't think Trixie would get rid of her either. I do agree that that part did not provide a lot, especially if I was confused as well as to whether the judges wanted, like, were you supposed to play imitate the role itself, because not gonna lie, Emma Stone's role in La La Land, I enjoyed her in La La Land, but it's not like an actual impression worthy role except for just singing, and even then singing without a backing track is extremely awkward, which was shown, you know, when she got the shade music when she came out and did a kick and brushed the wig out of her face. But yeah, she wasn't Yeah, she didn't really do much, though. And I wonder if part of that was, as Michelle said, like, I think she could have done more. You know, she kept going back to the pal thing, which, again, Emma Stone didn't even do. And I wonder if there, if she had done more, if maybe there could have been more extra stuff that they put in with her. But she was kind of given a crappy situation to begin with, even though she didn't, I'll admittedly, she didn't really make that much lemonade out of lemons. But I did love the look, even though Michelle criticized the highlighter on the nose. It's quintessential Kennedy. And I feel at least her performance was passable enough to make it through the week unscathed.
Yeah, I think the point about her, Brent, that you made about her possibly being safe, I could have definitely have seen that. I mean, yeah, it kind of ended up practically working that way. I mean, we don't know how Trixie, like what Trixie would have done. But I think Kennedy really solidly fell in the middle for me in this week.
Which is, considering that she should have been eliminated last week, that's something pretty good to be said.
Thanks, Dayla.
Yep. Thanks, girl.
Speaking of thanks, Dayla, let's move on to the person who Dayla brought back into the competition. Let's talk about Morgan here. First off, her plaid bagpipe-like look, and then, oh, the quacking. Oh, the quacking. Brent, give this to me. Was this a big goose egg for you in terms of her performance?
Pretty much. I'm living for the shoes. I love the 10 ankle straps that she has on the shoe on the runway. That's definitely very, very cool. But the performance itself as the beige swan, I thought was just such a fail. And it wasn't interesting. It wasn't funny. It was just awkward. And that's the worst thing you can be on RuPaul's Drag Race. The runway, I mean, I guess I can say some positive things about it. Like I said, the shoe is interesting. The makeup was beat for the gods. The hair was very, very fun. It's sort of like I don't know what it reminded me of, Mike, but it was with the curls in the front. Yeah. It was definitely very fun. And the thing that I thought that didn't really work for me was the material looked a little bit cheap. I think she was trying to go for a somewhat avant-garde look like they would do on Project Runway. But at times I thought the material just looked a little bit like flannel rather than something. Yeah. So Liana's laughing. So I know that she's seen the same thing.
Yes. That's literally exactly what I was going to say. It was like, she cut up the flannel sheets I had when I was little and made them into a dress.
Come on, Maria Von Trapp. Speaking of Julie Andrews.
You know, it's funny because at first when she walked out, I was like, what is she wearing? And I was like, oh, it's Morgan McMichaels. Okay, that's kind of cool. You know, and even I think I can't remember if it's Trixie or Shangela who was like, you still like was able to make her look like a whore, which I loved. But yeah, honestly, going back to her performance. Okay, when she came out quacking, it was so uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable. And I thought that the hissing was funnier. I don't know. I don't know why. I thought the quacking was just uncomfortable and the hissing. It was weird, but it was still funny. I don't know. And then I don't even know what else to say about her performance, because that's the only thing that stood out to me.
Well, I like the follow up of how after she quacked her way over to the side, she then started to waddle, which is just like, you really want to commit to this, don't you? We were hinting towards you like, listen, you don't need to be method for this. But she is insisted on being method, which is crazy. And I know that, like, I think Alaska talked about this at the pit stop. I honestly, like, pull in Alaska and go out there screaming your head off, which would be insane. But I feel like that would be sort of what Beige Swan is, which again just speaks towards maybe why Morgan did not pick the part correctly, is because she can dance, but I don't know if she necessarily tapped into that unhinged part of it. But the outfit, I mean, material aside, I actually really enjoyed, I guess, the novelty of it, considering that we had just seen like two red dresses. To have her come out and honor that Scottish heritage and the fact that she's performed in Scotland a lot with the plaid. Chris Colfer points out the bagpipe look, the fact that she's sort of resembling that with the one overly inflated shoulder that we'll get to an overly inflated outfit coming up here in just a little bit. I thought it was interesting enough of a change up that it really drew some eyes for me.
Actually, Mike, the point that you made about coming out like Alaska and just screaming, like the future of drag look from All Stars 2 is what you were thinking about, right? Where she just like comes out and she's just like, ah!
Yeah, exactly.
Right, that one? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think that would have been funnier. I don't know. I mean, I just go back to, okay, you have this role. What is it that you do with it to make it stand out in a positive way? And I don't, maybe I'm just not creative enough to come out, you know, to come up with something, but it just seems like she really painted herself into a corner and I don't know. Yeah.
Some nice red paint. Let's move on to our top two here to finish things off. let's start with Shangela going with this Lady Gaga inspired outfit. I would ask people to go watch the extended runway. We unfortunately got a truncated runway this week just because of the runtime, but there's like a 2-minute version of the runway where you actually get to see. I didn't notice that the spikes were inflating personally until they talked
either.
About it. So watching the runway though, when you watch it uncut, you get to see the spikes actually rise. And it's a really cool effect to watch. And of course she knocks it out of the park as Octavia as well. Brent, what are your thoughts about Shangela this week?
Well, I mean, this is a home run, Mike. I mean, not only do you need to watch it uncut, but you need to watch it erecting on the stage, this whole outfit. I mean, what more can you want on RuPaul's Drag Race? I mean, I'm with you. In terms of the outfit, I did not know of all the times to have a truncated runway. This was not it for Shangela because we couldn't really appreciate the outfit until we were told about it. And then for those of us who are, you know, super fans enough to go back online and watch it a second time and to see how it's actually expanding as she's walking down the runway. I thought it looked, the outfit itself, I'll say this, there's not a lot there other than the gimmick. There's not a lot there. But the gimmick is so well done and it completely covers the rest of the outfit. And the hair is interesting enough to me with the sort of two-tone, like she obviously needs a dye job look, I felt like it was definitely a winner. And insofar as the performance, I thought that she just had such a great time as Octavia and she campaigned for that role. Like you said in the beginning, Mike, Liana, she wanted it and she was funny. It had a lot of lines, had a lot of laughs. And I felt like more than anything that she was sticking with what she knows. Like this was very Shangela to me. She was very, very funny and personable and got the laughs and was smiling. I love it when Shangela gets the laughs or gets the oohs and ahs from the panel because she knows she's winning. She knows she's not dropping the ball. She's like, yeah, I got him. You know, because, you know, when you're a performer and they start laughing, you're like, oh, my God, I got him. You know, so I like that.
I love it when queens get erect on the runway. The same part.
You're doing a bad job if you're getting erect on the runway. Do more tucking.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So I have a couple things to say. So first of all, this outfit was just. I was so baffled by it, but loved it at the same time. And the fact that it did inflate, because then afterwards when they're getting the critiques and it's all deflated, I was like, oh, that's so sad. I want it to be all spiky. And then, there isn't much else to it, right? Apart from that big ass braid, but still, like, I just loved it. And this was something that shocked me. And I think that that's what's so much fun about some of the runway looks is when they shock me. Like, that was just super exciting. And then her performance did feel like Shangela just being Shangela. Like she could have come up with this character all by herself and I would have believed it, you know, if it hadn't been scripted and she had just had to improvise a character. I will say one thing that took me out of the whole thing. So when in the very beginning of the preview, when Trixie calls all of her friends as bridesmaids and, you know, I want you to be my maids. And then there's that cut to Shangela. She's in a cell culture room, which is the room that I work in. Rocket scientists do not work in those types of rooms. And I just want to point that out. Whatever intern Googled science lab on stockphotos.com picked the wrong photo.
Wikipedia.com definition of stock room photo.
It took me out of the whole trailer.
I also love that Shangela, I guess, has a thing for inflatables this season, because remember with the big ball that she was in to make up for her Christmas outfit? Again, like we said before, I don't know how she gets backstage after that and how it I don't know how it inflated either. Was it like a hand pump thing?
I don't either.
Yeah, like did something get set up? I don't know. It's true magic.
Yeah, I think it was automatic because it's based on the Lady Gaga outfit. And I went and I watched the video for Lady Gaga and she does the same thing. She like gets out of this car and she's just standing there. And all of a sudden, all these spikes start to inflate. So I don't know if there's like a pump or something.
No, it has to be electronic or it has to be automatic. There's no way she's like got her hand inside going, you know, pumping, pump, 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 pump. You know?
That's why she got erect on stage.
I know, right?
When you hand pump, you tend to get in that direction. And I also liked, we didn't see this too much in the trailer, but when we were rehearsing with Ross, I like that Shangela always, and again, this is going sort of off the cuff, like Trixie did, she always had a response for something. Like when Lala stuff didn't land, or when the Queen stuff didn't land, or when Beige Swan didn't land, like, I don't know if it was scripted or not, but she always had that one line to come back that always, like, garnered a laugh. So, I mean, she's an actress for a reason. She's appeared in a number of TV projects for a reason, because she knows that type of stuff. But let's move on to probably my favorite performance from both a runway and a movie perspective this episode. Let's talk about Trixie. as Sharon Frankovich and her own take on Red for Filth. Brent, what'd you think about Trixie here?
I mean, Trixie, you need to go to Brown more often because she was all bent out of shape about the fact she did not want to wear a brown wig on the challenge. And yet it totally worked for me. In fact, it made her a lot softer in some ways. And I know that the look of the Sharon Frankovich wasn't exactly soft. But what I'm saying is I'm so used to Trixie being in these, you know, white blonde outfits, or sorry, white blonde wig pieces.
Yeah.
And because of that, I feel like her face always comes off a little bit harsh. But the brown wig this time was really working for me in terms of the beat of the character. And then, of course, we got regular Trixie when she's back on the runway in a blonde wig. But insofar as the characterization, the timing of this was so great. The hugging line, I literally LOL'd on my couch. And she just had a natural sense about her. The performance seemed very, very natural. I never ever felt like that she was uncomfortable. I never felt like she was awkward like I did at times with BB or, you know, Kennedy to some extent, or especially the beige swan, Morgan. I felt like she was totally playing within herself here. She realized she had a gift from Morgan. She took it. The runway, I mean, wow, what an outfit. I was living for this. I think everything about this just works. We don't often get to see like a really fitted, tight body hugging silhouette on Trixie Mattel. And she totally has the body for it to work. And I just thought this was so great. Trixie's very into this sexy nerd. You know, she did that for the kitty challenge where she was like IQ kitty. And now it's basically coming here again where she has this gorgeous look on the runway with the dominatrix like pants and the gloves. And yet she has the glasses on with the book and the apple on top of her head. So the very, very fun gag with the apple, I think it was like Velcroed in, and she was able to take it off and put it back on again. I thought that really worked. And the bow tie, I mean, everything about this, I thought it was just a winner. I mean, to me, if you're ranking the people on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being the winner in terms of who killed the challenge the most and the runway, I mean, it was obviously Trixie Mattel. I know she ultimately loses it in the lip sync, but damn, she was really, really good in this challenge.
Yeah, I 1000% agree. And it's actually funny to me to think that she didn't want the Sharon Frankovich character, which I was like,
because of the brown wig.
Yeah, yeah. I was
going to say, were we expecting another Black China moment here?
Yeah, right. And then when she got it, thankfully she did realize that she was given a gift by Morgan and was able to make the most of it. You know, like you both have said, it would have been nice to know how much was improvised and how much was, you know, just written in the script. But I thought she was hilarious. And then, oh my gosh, I can't get over her runway look. And it's so funny to me to compare Shangela's runway look, which is so insane. She has inflated spikes sticking out like 3 feet from her body. And then Trixie can wear just this like latex body tight suit. And I am equally gagged by this. I just thought she looked amazing. And I think it wasn't until she ended up coming out for her lip sync where she was wearing pink that I was so happy she wasn't wearing pink in this look, that she looks good in white and red. I just thought it was so gorgeous. And I was a little confused with the red for Phil because I thought it was going to be where you had to like make the outfit out of books, you know, because it didn't happen
like the book
in, like,
ball,
season 8.
Yeah, in season 8.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And then this is the first one I was, oh, red, like the color red. I felt like an idiot, but I thought she looked gorgeous.
I took the homophone. I took the other one of like, okay, red for Filth. That's going to be something book based, like you said. So when we see BB come out, like, oh no, I guess not. But then it brought me right back with Trixie coming out with, you know, the double entendres there. Because we love our double entendres here. But yeah, I thought, again, going back to this idea that it was a very novel concept, as Ross literally mused there. And I thought it really made her stand out as well. It had like a point of view and a character behind it, which you don't usually get with your drag outfits. And I mean, her performance was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I think she felt like the Ross laughs definitely sort of helped fuel her. But even the work, like her being on the phone, being like, poisoning the Wick's water supply, big mistake, huge. And then just her wiping her head with the baby's hand. The baby work in particular, I thought was great. I think props can always really serve as a nice crutch when it comes to comedy, and she really used it well here. And I think her performance was just, in a word, commanding. So I think far and away, these were the top two from both a runway and a movie challenge perspective.
Oh, there's a line in here where I was like, I thought this was Maybe I don't know if it was a Trixie add-in, an ad-lib, or if it was something that was in the script. But, you know, obviously Julia Roberts did Erin Brockovich, and that's what who she was playing, the Sharon Frockovich character. But then when she says, you know, poisoning the water supply, big mistake, huge. That's a line from Pretty Woman. Do you guys remember that? Where she goes back into the store where the ladies wouldn't accept Julia Roberts as a customer, and she goes back in the next day when she has all the money and she looks gorgeous. She says, "You all work on commission, right?" And they're like, "Yes." And she's like, "Big mistake, huge. I have to go shopping now." So, like, I know that that's where Trixie got that line from.
I'm pretty sure there was another Pretty Woman reference also in the trailer. It was like something with clothes. So yeah, I think there was sort of a crossover there.
There was a mismatch. Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, Thorgy is shook with the baby. Thorgy was like, "I asked for a baby at Stevie Nicks, and I didn't get the props that I wanted."
I had a baby to sacrifice to my Wiccan gods as Stevie Nicks. All right, let's get into the deliberation here. There's not much to talk about with the actual deliberation, but we need to talk about the queens sitting around the table, because this was an incredible scene. Much funnier overall, actually, than the entirety of the actual movie that they shot was the 1-2 punch of BB not knowing what or who Ornacia is, coupled with Kennedy saying that they're going to make a Mimi out of her, and ironically enough, becoming a Mimi herself. Just, Brent, this was fantastic.
This is why we love Kennedy, though. She says stuff like this all the time. Like, she just tickles me. Oh my gosh. I was like, and I didn't know what she meant. She said a Mimi, and then to hear Shangela go, "You mean a meme?" And she's like, and they just started like howling. They're like, "Ah!"
Okay, but it was the way that Kennedy said it, because she says, "They're going to meme your ass to death."
Okay, and that's what she said, yes.
I thought it was a meme I'm first joke, because remember when Meme I'm first picked up India Farah?
Oh, yeah, like throw you over your head, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I thought, and I was like, oh, that's so funny. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's so clever, that's so funny. And then I was like, oh, she meant meme. Yeah, what? Oh, so ridiculous.
To be fair, I don't think BB wouldn't get the Mimi I'm first joke though either.
No, either.
Indicated she does not watch much Drag Race.
Yeah. Oh,
that was a little embarrassing. I felt bad. I was like, ooh, you don't know Ornacia, girl.
I love it that they're like, she's like, who dat? And then they're like, it's the head on top of Vivacious. And I don't even know if they said the queen's name, but they're like, it's the mannequin head. That's Ornacia. She's like, what? Is that a thing? Like, are you pulling my leg? Like, what? And I love that Chandler's like, BB won RuPaul's Drag Race and hasn't watched another episode since.
I also love Trixie has a great confessional here. She's like, I've been a nightmare. BB has never seen Drag Race. Kennedy doesn't know what a meme is.
Oh, that was so good. Oh, that was so funny. Although Vivacious, that cone look, maybe Shangela was also inspired by Vivacious's like weird cone look thing.
Oh my god, Vivacious is a game changer.
Well, oh my god, Ornacia will be on Ghost Island Drag Race version.
You have to come out with this other head on your head. Then maybe actually, I don't know if Shangela was shaking her hips in the way that Vivacious did with her quote unquote New York strutting back in season 6. But let's get to this lip sync, because this is such a fantastic lip sync. And look, I can understand Shangela's choice here. I think it raised a bit of a stink in some people in the plus size community, because they sort of felt like it was coming across like, oh, let's make fun of the fact that there are fat people. But for what it's worth, from my perspective, I thought it was hysterical.
It was hysterical. Like, point blank and the period, as Davon would say. Like, come on. Like, laugh at yourselves a little bit. Like, it's RuPaul said, like, 5 minutes ago. Like, on this show? Like, are you getting offended on this show? Like, I mean, there's just nothing to be offended here. In fact, I'm not even going to address it. This performance was so fun from start to finish. It was clear who the winner was. And not only that, she never, ever took her foot off the pedal, Liana. Like, from start to finish, Shangela was in it to win it. She wanted another win. She wants to make it so hard for RuPaul to crown Trixie as the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. She wants to make sure that it's her. That it's her. That it's her. Yes. I this was just a pleasure to watch. And she had some really fun bits and I was worried when she was dancing that the outfit, because it was obviously some sort of fat suit, would start to come apart in some way, but it stayed put and it jiggled. It felt like a real person. Like, it felt like somebody who was plus size, who was out there dancing in a G-string. And it totally worked from a anatomical perspective for me, particularly.
Well, I will say it did feel a little gimmicky. And then I was like, well, what fucking show am I watching? Like, I'm watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
In this show?
Yeah, in this show? Like, what? So, yeah. And just Rue's facial expressions to Shangela's performance were giving me life. Like, Rue was getting life from Shangela, and I was getting life from RuPaul. And I did feel really bad for Trixie. There was a post on Reddit that was like, remember the 4 seconds when Trixie had a possibility of winning the lip sync? Because as yeah. soon as Shangela took that dress off and we saw that fat suit, it was a done deal.
Yeah, as soon as she stripped out the Big Mama's House-esque muumuu, and she got down to brass tacks or brass pasties.
And I'm so sorry. I totally forgot. You know, this just as a quick segue back to Kennedy on the runway. Mike, she had the reveal. She had this big red cape. And Kennedy, if you remember back in her original season, she had that as well on the first like runway that they did, where I think it had to be like summer and fall. And she had this, she was in a choir mistress outfit, the RuPaul set, and she took it off and then she revealed her outfit. Like, Kennedy is, that's, you know, she's a pageant queen, because that's what they do. They always come out in some big oversized outfit. In fact, it's very tired and played out, but it works every freaking time. And I fall for it hook, line, and sinker.
So I can also understand what some people are saying, where like, it feels like we've sort of done away with the rule of you have to lip sync in the outfit that you walked down the runway with. Like, if we started to see a bit of it with last All-Star season, when Katya was wearing that latex swimmer's outfit that really constrained her walking, so they let her change. Now it seems like both queens are changing every episode. So I can understand if you're like, we're compromising that. But at the same time, if it's making for entertaining lip syncs like this, I kind of don't care. Because, yes, I agree with Liana. It was a little gimmicky in the beginning, and I was afraid that it was just going to be the joke of like, oh, she's fat and she's dancing, isn't it funny? But the fact that she committed to it, and this was a long lip sync. We pretty much got the entirety of Freaky Money, including the big Frida section, which I'm so glad we did, because when Shangela put those glasses on, like, that took it to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Oh my God, I totally forgot about that. Yes, when she put the glasses on, oh my gosh, that was so great. And who thinks of stuff like that? I mean, that was just so wonderful to see. And you're right, Mike, it went on for a good 2 to 3 minutes, and maybe they even cut a minute or two, but she just danced so well. I even sent you guys a little tweet of Shangela dancing. You can totally tell she's from the House of Edwards, because she just knows how to kill it every time when she's on the runway dancing in front of people, performing. Whenever she has a shtick, she just sells it every time. I will say this, that I don't know if she's going to win RuPaul's Drag Race, but she has come so far in terms of being a professional queen on the runway. She's one of my top three performers of all time now. I smile every time I see her in confessional, every time I see her on the runway. She just never, ever, ever lets me down. Even when she dropped the ball during the sewing challenge, she owned the fact that this isn't her gig. She doesn't do it very well. And she came out there with those 3 records that were so ridiculous. I thought that I just love the fact that she totally like steered into the curve of I don't know how to sew very well, so I'm just going to glue some records on my crotch.
She should have quacked to distract from the records, or hiss, maybe.
But yeah, she's great.
She's won 3 lip syncs now, 1 for every gold record that was on her outfit for the Studio 54 look. So yeah, Shangela takes it here. I do agree with you, Liana. Like, Trixie, I think she had an admirable effort. There was one point when she made Rue laugh when she had kind of like a crazed look in her eyes during the bridge. But Shangela absolutely kills it here. She wins the right to send someone home, and it's easy pickings. You're easy to say, you know what, Morgan, you had your chance, and unfortunately you were not up to snuff here. So Morgan McMichaels takes the walk for the 3rd overall time in her career, 2nd time on this season. Liana, I know that Morgan was coming back for her redemption. I feel like Shangela claimed in the workroom, we all got our redemption. Do we feel like we got some more from Morgan McMichaels here in her 2 additional episodes between last episode and this one?
I mean, I guess I just didn't see anything else from her. Like, I was really excited to see her back. You know, I remember watching the first season when it aired. And so I was so excited to have somebody back from season two, sort of like how I felt good about Tati coming back for All-Star season two. But I don't know, it felt a little disappointing, a little lackluster, although I'm not going to lie, I absolutely did love her reference of the not Fifi girl, I'll hug everyone.
From what I saw, Fifi loved it too. So she took it in good stride.
Okay, that's good.
that was really funny. I agree with Liana that I as far as the redemption, you know, getting to come back, probably the worst that we've ever gotten in terms of people. I know there have been a couple queens that had a revolving door, but I really felt like I never got to see the Morgan McMichaels that I really wanted to see. I'm really, really bummed at her for picking the beige one. I know, Mike, you were living for the absurdity of it all, but I really would have liked to see Morgan kill it in a challenge and, you know, force somebody like Trixie or Shangela to do the beige swan and see what they can come up with. I mean, if they're that great of a queen, hopefully they can navigate it well. But she took this one, and boy, she just set herself up to fail because she gave all of the people who were really good basically their preferred roles. I know she didn't give Trixie her preferred role. However, she did give her a role that had the most lines, and she had to see that that was probably going to be a starring turn for Trixie there.
Yeah. So we say goodbye to Morgan here as we welcome our final four. Now, I do want to, because there's been some speculation as, and we saw it on the Next Time On, as to how the outcome may be decided. I want to get into that speculation in a little bit. But first, sight unseen, let's ignore that. I would love to go the old Survivor sucks route of brain, heart, gut when it comes to this final outcome. So I would love to go around, and if you each want to give the queen who you think should win, the queen that you want to win, and the queen who will win RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 3 out of these final four. So should win, want to win, will win. Brent, I feel like you already have opinions about this, so I'll start with you.
Yeah, it's so funny that you bring up Survivor Sucks because I'm a big fan of them. And I always do the brain, heart, gut thing. So Brain, who I think will win, I think it will be Shangela. My gut says also that it will be Shangela as the winner. I think that she's made it basically impossible unless she totally drops the ball in this last episode and Trixie kills it. I think she's made it impossible for Ru to crown Trixie as the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. I think for Trixie, it's just a little bit of too little, too late. And heart, Kennedy Davenport. I'm sorry. I appreciate her for what she is. I love the dancing. I love the leg kicks. I love the shade and the confessionals. And I also love the fact that she's totally been vulnerable this entire time. You know, with Shangela, it's all about Game of Thrones and her, you know, getting her armies together. That was very funny, but it felt a little bit put on. And with Kennedy, you just get a sense of realness with her that I think you just don't get from other people. Maybe Trixie, but Trixie's always making jokes in her confessionals. I just feel like with Kennedy that it's just, you can tell she wants it so bad. Here's the thing. Remember she said, I have to make it to the end. And she's done that. So now she was so excited. You could tell because she's at the final episode. She's not being kicked off before the finale like she was the last time around. She got to hear RuPaul say, are you Team Shangela, Team Trixie, Team BB, or are you Team Kennedy? And I think that just meant the world to her that she gets to participate in every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. She has a shot at the crown. And if she doesn't win, she's going to hold her head up high and go back to Texas and dance the house down. But I really do. I think it would be great if she was the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. Ain't going to happen, but it would be great.
Oh, my gosh. My heart feels the exact same way. Like, Kennedy is for sure my pick. It's never going to happen. She's not going to win. But just it would make my heart happy if Kennedy were to win this season. So, yeah, I completely co-sign that. Now, as far as my head versus my gut, this is the mole conspiracy theorist in me. Not that I think that BB is going to win, but the pop figure that, like, Trixie gets a pop figure, RuPaul gets a pop figure, and Alaska gets a pop figure. That I still cannot shake from my mind. Otherwise, I would say both brain and gut would say Shangela, because Shangela is the one who gives RuPaul life. It has killed it this season. I think that you know, we can easily say probably was second behind Benda LaCreme in terms of the season. So I think that it makes sense logically that she would win. But that pop figure nonsense, I just can't get out of my head. So I think my I don't know.
So
which was my gut.
your brain is saying Shangela, but your gut with the pop figure is saying it's going to be Trixie.
My gut is also very hungry, so it's a little confusing. But yes, I will go with Trixie.
Mike, what about you?
You have a nice duck to feast upon later. I'm going to go heart with Trixie just because I walked in here a Trixie fan, and I know that she had a rough first half of the season, even though I thought she did really well on The Bachelor, but culminating in that not great Snatch Game performance. But I feel like she's really on the upswing, and not only in terms of her performance, but her confidence level as well. And, you know, it's so nice to see someone, you just talked about this with Kennedy, and I would definitely put her up here as well, but to, you know, gain confidence in herself and make her realize, like, listen, I know I'm famous from outside of Drag Race, but I can actually do well in some of these challenges, is really exciting. But that being said, I feel like she has the mirrored path of Katya, unfortunately, where, you know, she never won a lip sync. Katya never won a lip sync in All Stars 2, but they finished in the top a couple times. So I feel like Trixie's going to come second. I'm going to go with brain and gut for Shangela, just because Shangela has won. She's 3-for-3 in lip syncs, and she was only in the bottom two once for that ball challenge. She dropped the ball in the ball challenge. But other than that, I think that she's put forth really solid work. She definitely, I feel like if we're making like the confessionals chart and going into the edit of it all, she has by far been the most talking head worthy person of the season. So I feel like it's got to be Shangela at the end of the day.
Well, and also I'll say this, that, you know, RuPaul knows where her bread is buttered. And look, I think that Shangela has won this season of RuPaul's Drag Race because, you know, Dayla quit. And I still think Shangela could have beat her at the end anyway. So I think that Shangela is going to be the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. I think it's going to be even harder to take it away from Shangela, given that there are already two white queens in the Hall of Fame. And for RuPaul to put another white queen in the Hall of Fame, I'm talking Caucasian here. I think that RuPaul really wants a queen of color in there. I think it's good to have some color, have some diversity, and Shangela has more than earned it. So to take it away from her now, I feel like that wouldn't be a great look for RuPaul. But I don't know. RuPaul doesn't always do the right thing in terms of saying the right thing. So you never know with her.
Enough said about that. And I know that, like you mentioned before, Brent, as per usual, Ru has opened up the social media floodgates to say, hey, send your support for these queens. But I'm assuming, based on what happened with All Stars 2 in particular, Liana, are we expecting that to have any sort of effect on the ultimate outcome?
No,
not at all. No, I mean, even if it's like 70-30 Trixie, I still feel like if RuPaul wants to crown Shangela, she's going to crown Shangela. And again, if Shangela drops the ball in the last challenge and Trixie absolutely kills it, I think that's the only path for Trixie to win. If Shangela does even a serviceable job in the final challenge, and considering what it looks like the final challenge is, I feel like she's got it. Shangela, I'm talking about.
Yeah, so Katya, okay, so for All Stars 2, Katya had like 10 times the numbers of likes and retweets compared to Alaska. Okay, so. Yeah,
we won't get fooled again, World of Wonder.
Yeah, fool me once, shame on you.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I'm excited for the finale no matter what. As Brent mentioned, we'll talk about the other element of the next time on in a little bit, but I know they said the final challenge looks like the quote-unquote most ambitious production in Drag Race history. Very actually La La Land in terms of, like, seems like there's a musical number going on in a bunch of sets. So I am so excited to see, no matter how this turns out, I'm really excited to see how this all finishes. That being said, I think we want to get into a little bit of speculation here. So if you want to not spoil yourself for next week, feel free to jump off right now from that high. Yes, Aja. And we'll be back next week to cover it all. We'll also have a season 10 preview coming out either right before or after that. So be sure to stay tuned into your iTunes.
Yes, really
feed
quickly. Sorry, I get all these tweets from you people who are like, you know, when are you guys going to do the preview for season 10? Y'all, we got to get through All Stars first. So just let us get through All Stars. We'll get you a season 10 preview before the season starts.
Okay, side note, I just want to say that Roxy Andrews got 1% the number of retweets that got.
Oh,
it was real bad.
Yes.
That tweet got left at the bus stop.
Well, that's interesting as well. I don't want to digress too much, but like, I know Kennedy keeps saying like, I don't want to be the Roxy Andrews of this season, but
and she's not.
Yeah, maybe it is. If you look at like the elimination chart,
yeah,
but like, I feel like from a personality perspective, like she's, I feel like she's not in that territory in terms of like, why is she still in terms of how the viewer reception.
If Chi Chi were still here, Chi Chi would be the Roxy Andrews. Like, no, Kennedy doesn't fall in that category.
I'm sorry, but it is BB. I have disagreed with the rulings of the judging panel so many times. I really, really, really feel like that BB, more than anything, is the person who, like, it's sort of like when you see your friends from when they were in high school and you see them 20 years later and you're like, you kind of wish you hadn't because they look awful. And you're like, oh, you don't remember anything like what I remember you were like. But yeah, BB, I kind of wish she would have just stayed in my memory as a fierce season one queen. Who was the winner, and instead she came back, and I'm really not impressed with what I saw from BB. I mean, like, to me, it's clear that she won RuPaul's Drag Race season one, just like Richard Hatch won Survivor season one, back when people didn't really know what was going on or how the game was played. She won a pretty weak season of RuPaul's Drag Race, and I think she should have just stayed put, but that's my opinion.
Well, let's, so we'll say goodbye to those that don't want to do some speculation, but I know I'm springing this on you too, but I really want to talk about this now that the moment is actually coming. We had inklings of this when we saw the episode 8 title, when the episode titles came out. The finale is titled A Jury of Their Queers. And indeed, it looks like we're going to have a panel of the eliminated queens come back once more. And we have a hot seat there. Liana, any speculation? And again, I think we're all unspoiled when it comes to the actual aspects of this, but any thoughts as to how this jury is going to be implemented?
Oh my gosh, I have no idea. I was trying to think of that, you know, because they had the preview of the queens coming back. We knew the episode title. I mean, I just can't imagine that they're allowed to pick a winner. You know, is this a situation where they get to ask questions, you know, and there's sort of a Survivor-esque, you know, finale thing with like the jurors coming back?
Which version of the jury questioning?
Yeah, right. Oh, I don't even know. It's just so confusing. Is it open forum? I don't know.
If this is the new one, RuPaul will be like, okay, the criteria you're going off of is charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
We're going to start with the charisma portion. I don't know. I mean, because I just, you know, it is the RuPaul show. And I just don't think that there's any way that RuPaul would allow another group of people to make this decision in the end. So there's no way that they're going to have, you know, ultimate power. Now, do they, I don't know, get a vote? But is that the same way that sort of America gets a vote with the retweets, right? Like, we just clearly proved that that doesn't matter. So
no, I think that's it. That's it, Liana. That's exactly what's going on. I guarantee you 100%. First of all, these queens haven't seen the challenges. How do they know what's been happening? How does Thorgy Thor know who deserves to win RuPaul's Drag Race when she hasn't been there for 7 out of 10 of the episodes? I mean, give me a break. I really cannot believe that RuPaul's going to allow them to pick the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. It just doesn't compute for me. I mean, maybe she just doesn't care. Maybe RuPaul's like, you know what, either one of these queens would be totally good, Trixie or Shangela. I'm just gonna let them pick. But I don't believe that's gonna be the case. I think it's gonna be just like America and our retweets and whatnot. I think that they're gonna ask them some questions. They're gonna give their input to RuPaul. RuPaul's gonna quote take it under consideration. But ultimately, it's RuPaul's decision. Having said that, if there's one element to this whole season that's making me think that this might be true, it's Shangela's Game of Thrones references throughout the entire season, talking about building an army of people who are going to help me get to the top. I mean, if this comes back to help her, like all of the stuff she's done to cultivate all of these relationships, then I feel like that's the only way it could possibly pay off for me, is Shangela winning. I'll say this. If it's a jury of their peers, there ain't no way Trixie's winning. The only way Trixie can win is if RuPaul's deciding. And the only way Trixie wins if RuPaul is deciding, if Shangela drops the ball in the final challenge. So there's a very narrow path for Trixie here.
What I will say is, maybe this is, again, me wildly speculating, I could imagine the queens being the ones to eliminate the fourth place contestant, where they do the final challenge, and then the queens, maybe they viewed the challenge, they bring them in for one-on-one questioning, and then they eliminate the fourth place queen. Then we go immediately to the final lip sync. Because they also have to imagine, this is this an hour long next week, or is it an hour and a half? Because I feel like there's going to be a lot going on.
I didn't look, but I'm hoping it's an hour and a half. And by the way, if that's what they're doing, eliminating the fourth place queen, it's going to be BB, because there's no way they're going to do that to Kennedy again. There's no way they're going to eliminate her in fourth place again before the crowning. It's just not going to happen.
Oh,
Liana.
That'd be so sad.
I know.
Aw, yeah, no, I mean, I think that that's definitely an option, you know, because that's what we saw that on All Stars 2, where Roxy was put out of her misery by RuPaul. So, yeah, this might be a way to sort of involve the final queens. Yeah, and I think that that's also, you know, if RuPaul feels that, OK, well, it's either going to be Trixie or Shangela, even though I don't know. I mean, I think she wants Shangela, and I think she thinks that there's no way that she would be eliminated in that fourth slot, then that, like, that would be the only way she would be OK with it. But it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of reserving judgment until we actually see it play out, because, again, this is, we saw it step a little bit towards the Survivor Big Brother direction with the Queens Eliminate Themselves twist from All Stars 2. And now that we're taking a further step in that direction, it'll be interesting to see how things play out. But I just want to get both of your sense of how things might work before we get into the finale next week. I cannot believe we're already here. But then, of course, we're going to be jumping off a train and onto another moving train when it comes to season 10. So we got to get ourselves nice and inflated to keep ourselves fully erect throughout the next few months. So you can follow all these people on social media. Liana is at Liana Boras, LianaBoraas. Brent is at One Lucky Gay, spelled O-N-E. I am at a Mike Bloom type. I know that you are both involved in Big Brother Canada, correct? We're in full force there.
I'm just keeping my ears closed.
Close your ears. It's polite to do, and Canadians are nothing but polite. You can check out the exit press I do for Survivor and Top Chef. I've been covering podcasts of Top Chef. Leon and I are doing the RHGP B&B Survivor Weekly podcast. So there's plenty of stuff to keep you guys occupied as we move into the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 3. Let us know your thoughts about this episode and who you think is going to win, how this new twist might play into it. We'd love to hear from you guys. We always like talking with you about your thoughts regarding this absolutely lovely show. But that's going to do it for this week. Until then, you may sashay away. Bye!